grounded. And the last time we were together, not this past week, we had Mr. Butch Fry with us. And I hope y'all enjoyed that. I thought that was just amazing. He's an amazing, amazing communicator. Loved the message. I've heard a lot of folks talking about it. And so that was awesome. The week before that, though, we talked about, we were kind of wrapping up our series, Anything But Average. And we talked about it's not what you know, but it's what you do with what you know. You can know a lot, but if you don't do anything with it, then it really doesn't benefit anyone or anything, and it doesn't really accomplish anything. Knowledge in itself is great, but unless you put feet on it, unless you get it moving in action, it doesn't really become something that becomes a valid thing. And so most of the time in life, with the situations that we deal with in our relationships, our finances, our marriages, or whatever it is, we know the right thing to do. I wish I had a dollar for every time a couple would come in and sit down, or someone would come in and we'd sit down and they're discussing their problem. And I always ask this question, well, what do you think you should do? They always know. They always look and go, well, that's why we're here. And I said, well, I just did my part. I said, well, what do you think you ought to do? Well, I think we need to, okay, well, let's go do that. Oh, you're so smart, Pastor. I got to take what I can get, Bob. I got to take what I get. The problem is not us knowing what to do. You're going through a marital issue. If you talk to folks and you lay down the emotions and say, what are the decisions? What do we need to do to make our marriage stronger and better? The path is there. And the majority of the time, people know what the path is. We're just so busy digging our heels in and holding on to our pride and our egos that we don't walk that out. Maybe it's finances. You know, hey, what do you need to do? Well, I need to stop spending more than I make. Okay, well, go do that. Well, Pastor, it's not that we don't know, it's that we often don't do. And I asked you this question, it's kind of where we left it at, was where does the change really come from? Attending a service or applying what you've heard to your life? See, it's not what you know, it's what you do with what you know. It is the walking out of that in your life. And we use the text of Matthew 7, where Jesus was talking about the wise man and the foolish man. And these were two people who heard the same story. It wasn't bent one way for one and bent the other way for the other. They heard Jesus teaching. They heard the same story. And he says, yet one hears the words and puts them into practice. And he is like someone who builds his house on a rock. And when the storm comes and the winds blow, it stands strong. Why? Because he took what he heard and he put it into practice in his life. And then Jesus said, but the second one is one who hears the word and doesn't put it into practice. And he's like someone who builds his house on the sand. And they look the same, but when the storms come and the winds blow, the house on the sand won't stand. And we talked about how sometimes in life, as stable and as secure as you think you are, all it takes is one good wave to knock your sandcastle down, doesn't it? One good wave. One good storm. Something coming that you didn't see coming. And it knocks you off track and it knocks you down. And how we said that it is follow through that determines a firm or a faulty foundation, not just information. So not just knowing what to do, but it's doing what you know to do. And so we finished that series, and I'm kind of stepping from that one to this message. And again, the title of it is Grounded. And I named it Grounded because there are things in our lives, there are things that you and I as believers need to be grounded in. When I say grounded in, what I mean is they need to be stable footing. It needs to be something that we don't kind of have an idea about, but something that we know. Something that you, no matter whether it's going good or going bad, you know to be true. You've seen it in action. You stand on it. You have faith in it, faith on it, and you're not going to be shaken. These are foundational things in our lives that we have for us to continue to grow, for us to continue to mature in the things of the Lord. Now, I told y'all a couple weeks ago I was going to be talking about money. I don't talk about money a lot. I'm not a huge fan of money. Money is a tool. That's all it is. I think money complicates things more than anything else. And if you don't believe me, come back to me around Christmas. When everybody's calling everybody, well, how much are you spending on the kids? What if we just all bought one gift? What if we didn't do gifts this year? And then somebody buys you something that's not your size and your feelings get hurt. And I mean, it's all sort of, money can, I mean, y'all know what I'm talking about? Money can just complicate stuff. And so I don't talk about money a lot because I'm not a big fan of it, but there are a couple of things that I always have believed to be true about financing. And one of those is this: money is always a test. Money is always a test. Anytime it's taught about in Scripture, anytime that you find it in Scripture, it really boils down to God saying, listen, you're going to believe in me or you're going to believe in mammon. You're going to believe in me to sustain you and hold you and keep you, and you're going to put your trust in me or you're going to put your trust in stuff. You're going to put your trust in your account or your stocks or your house or your cars, and you're going to think those things are what bring you value and give you value, but yet I am what brings you value and gives you value. And it's always a test of how we handle it and what we do with it. The second thing is this: show me what you give to, show me where you spend your money, and I'll show you where your treasure is. Not what you say, but what we do. Because what we do matters. And I'm one who believes, and you know, we have a great, great leadership team. I love our board. I love our deacons. We just came out of probably in, how many years have we been here, Steph? 11, 12, 20? What is it? 12, this December 7th. Well, we just came out in 11, 12 years, probably one of the best board meetings I've ever been at. Listen, you guys are blessed. You guys are blessed to have godly, godly men and women that sit around a table that seek the face of God and hear the voice of God for this church. And I want you to know that. And we are so blessed by that. I'm blessed as a pastor to be able to be a part of a team like that. And I'm one who has always said, you know, I don't like talking about money a lot because I've always believed this, that if I preach Christ and Christ crucified, if I don't get hung up in the issues, let's not get into the political nonsense, let's not get into all the extra stuff. If I just preach Christ and Christ crucified, if I lead you into giving your heart to him, he's going to trickle down into every area of your life. It's Reaganomics. It is. Seriously, if I get my heart right, doesn't Jesus have a way of spreading? Jesus says, all right, you're saved. Now you're saved. Now let's look at how we handle our stuff. Oh, okay. And when he's doing it, isn't it better than me trying to do it in your life? And so I don't talk about money. I don't talk about politics. I don't talk about these kind of things. I teach Christ and Christ crucified because the reality of stuff is this: the more of Christ I have, the more Christ-like I become. And isn't that the goal? To be like Jesus, to live our life in a way that Christ is seen in us. And it's a great thing. Those of you that have been with me for a while, one of the things you've learned is that most time when I have guest speakers, probably 90%+ of the time, they're a missionary of some sort. I love missions. I believe in missions. I believe God was a missionary. God sent his son as a missionary to us. And missions has to be a foundation. We have to be grounded in missions if we want to be fully mature people. And so one of the things I always encourage our missionaries to do when they're coming in is this. I don't ever tell them what to preach on. I don't ever say, here's what I've been talking about. Here's what I want you to talk on. I always tell them this. I want you to hear from God, and I want you to give to us what God has given to you the way God gave it to you. And that day, that morning, I sat in the back with Butch Fry and said, Butch, today be our pastor. And bring the word of God to us. I always tell them that. I never get into message things. But I always ask them to do this. I said, will you make sure you communicate to our folks that they understand that if we don't do what we do, that it's hard for missionaries to do what they do. That it's because of our giving, it's because of our support, that missionaries are able to be on the field in the U.S., locally, as well as around the world, teaching, leading, and making a difference in somebody's life. And I want to give you just a brief snapshot this year of some of the things that we've been able to accomplish this year with our giving. This year, we were able to give to missions corporately, be it foreign and home, right at $170,000 for missions. That's amazing. That's incredible. That's a beautiful, beautiful thing. We supported a lot of people. And a lot of that came in through your giving. Some of that we had to take from general fund. But all of that went to missions. It went to making a difference around the world. We had a Convoy of Hope thing early in the spring. We called it One Day to Feed the World, where we challenged everybody to bring one day's wage Just one day's wage. If you don't like Monday, give that money away. It's bad. You know, and take it and to give it in our One Day to Feed the World offering that we took on Super Bowl Sunday. Do y'all remember this? I can remember telling the national audience, yeah, we're going to take a Super Bowl Sunday. And this, man, Super Bowl Sunday. I'm like, yeah, Redskins aren't in it. We don't care. You know, and so we took an offering. And listen, we took a one-day cash offering of $26,638.42, which translated, because it's not just about money, it's about what you do with it, which translated into 186,468 meals to children in orphanages in Haiti. And listen, do you know why we were able to do that? Because you gave. That's it. We were able to do that. There are kids who ate 186,468 meals because you adjusted your life to be a part of something that was bigger than you, broader than you, and beyond you. And you did it, and you left your seat, and you came up, and you dropped your offering in the bucket that day, and it translated into food on a table for kids who otherwise may not have had that meal. It happened because you gave. I received a note this past week from one of the local Chi Alpha groups. We support a lot of Chi Alpha groups in our area, and we allowed them to use our vans to take some students from American University to their Mosaic conference. And it says this: thanks so much for the use of the vans for this Mosaic weekend. They were fully utilized and worked great. That means we didn't crash or hit a curb. Without vans, we wouldn't have been able to get the students to the Mosaic conference, and God did a powerful work there. At the conference, one Chinese student made a bold salvation commitment in front of her peers. One Chinese student was baptized in the Holy Spirit. On the way home, another student prayed for salvation as well. Among our students at Georgetown and Nova CC, I saw real steps forward in building faith. Students from China, Pakistan, Germany, and the Philippines. Do you know why that was able to happen? Because you gave. You say, no, what? We just let them use vans. Yeah, you know what bought those vans? Your giving. And so because you give, that translated into several salvations, people being filled with the Holy Spirit, people from all over the world that God brings to American University, and you and I, as believers in His First Assembly of God, have the opportunity to stand with a missionary on that campus to be the light, to show Christ, and to see people saved and their lives changed, and many of them go back to their homes and bring their faith with them. Because you gave. These are stories that are able to happen because of you. When I was in Bible college at Valley Forge, I met a man named Kevin Frederick, and he was a funny guy. He was a great guy. I've had him here one time before. When Kevin went to Bible college, he wasn't even saved yet. And all you had to do was meet him, and you could tell. And he just said, I feel like God wants me to go to Bible college. And so I'm going. And somebody started talking to him about salvation. He's like, prayer or what? You know, and so they ended up leading him to the Lord at Bible college, which is usually backward, you know. And he lived on the floor I was an RA on, and he was telling me, man, Wes, I got a trip to Zambia. I feel like God wants me to go to Zambia on this missions trip. And so he was doing odd jobs. He was a construction fella, and he was doing odd jobs on the side on the weekends to try to raise his money. He raised his money. He's gone for like 2 weeks, and all of a sudden he comes back. I'm in my room reading books and doing homework like I always did. And all of a sudden, boom, boom, boom on my door, and I'm like, oh, and he opens the door, and he goes, you're from the country. Where do I buy cows? I said, that's kind of offensive. I said, Kevin, why do you need cows? He goes, because I met the woman I'm going to marry, and I have to have a dowry to buy her from her father. What? I mean, he went to Zambia, and he met this amazing woman, and he just fell head over heels. And I said, Kevin, listen, don't buy cows here and ship them over. It's going to cost you everything. That's insane. Why don't you just save money, buy cows over there, because you don't have all the mess to, you know, you can't put them in the overhead carry. You know, it's just, it's no good. It's no good. And so, oh, that's a great idea. And so, like a year later, he went back. He bought cows and he gave them to the father. And he married Dulce. And today, she came back while he finished school and we got to know her. And beautiful, amazing, amazing people. And today, they're in Zambia and they run an orphanage. And they're making a difference, and you support them, and you give monthly to them. And I'll never forget one day I got a letter from Kevin. He's just kind of like, he said, hey, guys, here's a letter I'm sending out to all our supporters. These are things that we need, and we started reading through the list. And I don't know if we have that. Do we have that picture? We have a picture, and this was one of the things that was on his list. It scared me a little bit because I thought he was trying to buy another wife, but... It wasn't, and what it was is they needed a cow to help with the plowing and to help with all of that stuff and do all of these things. And so we brought it to a board, and you know what? Listen, that cow is the First Assembly of God cow. And do you want to know how we were able to buy that cow for him? Because you gave. You gave. That's why. It's amazing. I received this past week from Catherine Evans, who runs a ministry called Orphanages for Africa. And it says, First Assembly has assisted with paying tuition for some of our children in Uganda that attend a good Christian boarding school. The schools can be quite expensive, but the children are receiving a fine education and a Christian foundation. We require grades to be submitted. And for the last term in Uganda, 76% were ranked somewhere in the top 5 to 20% of their classes. Kind of like me, babe. I was in the top 5 in my class. I always tell her that. She's like, but there were only 5 in your graduating class. And I said, that doesn't matter. Top 5. It's my story and I'm sticking to it. We believe all of our kids in every African nation will be Christian leaders in the next generation. And First Assembly is helping to bring about their divine destinies. Thank you for all that you do for the children. Margaret Brumskin of Joy Givers International, who's this amazing godly woman who was serving on the board with us at this church, leading and being a part of building and doing what God is here. And God just divinely interrupts her life and she says, I feel like God wants me to quit my job, leave everything, go to Liberia and start this ministry of after school care for the kids. And she went and it wasn't easy. She didn't walk in and God didn't part the sea. She had to tread water and swim through shark-infested waters, folks. I mean, she got there. Everybody wanted a bribe. Everybody wanted her to pay her way to get it done. And she said, I will not bribe anyone. I will not pay anyone. I will pray and God will move. And one school took a chance. And said, you know what? Yeah, we'll do an after-school thing here. And her goal was 20 kids. 20 kids. And I'll never forget, the first time I talked with her after she left, she said, Pastor, at the end of the first week, we had about 80 or 90 kids. And they come in, and we do lessons with them. And they come in, and she goes, we feed them. Sometimes a banana and a little bowl of rice. And for many of them, it's the only meal that they get. That day, parents were coming and standing outside of the building, listening in so that they could learn and be a part of what God was doing there. Do you know why that was able to happen? Because you give. Because you skip a value meal. Because you skip, God forbid, a Starbucks. Because you take something out of your wallet and you put it into the plate and you give stories like that. Being told. You know that your children come in and they sit downstairs in their services and they're being taught how to worship. That they're being taught the principles of God and they are cared for so that you can be in services up here. And whenever I talk to our, one Gerardo and his team do just a great job, man, just a great job. Ashton's always singing songs and buddy, how was church? He said, oh, I danced. A little Michael Flannery, you know, here we go. And you know, I talked to Katie in nursery, and we have a great team of people who are down there who watch your children so you can be here. And can I say something? They didn't pay me for this yet. But listen, if you have a child, we have a co-op nursery. How many know what co-op means? That means you got to cooperate or you can hold your child up here. That's what that means. And so if you have a child, you have to be kind of part of the rotation. And so there are parents who are down there watching your children so that you can be here. And sometimes you need to serve down there so that they can be here. Listen, it's about teamwork. But listen, you have children that they're being taught by Gerardo and his team. They're being taught things in nursery, and they're learning the principles of God. They're learning how to worship. They're joining the worship, and they're hearing the word of God. Do you know how that is possible? It's possible because you give. Because you have a plan of giving, not just financially, but of your own service and serving and teaching. Because you give, that's why those things are happening. Do you know that we have SCAN that uses our building? That is a program that helps folks learn how to be better parents. Do you know how that happens? Because you give. And every time they host it, that room is full of life change. Of people learning a different way and a better way for a child to grow up in a different situation, in a different scenario, because you give and we keep lights on and heat on and we open the door to programs in the community that are making a difference and saying, yes, we will walk with you. You know that we host Math Tree and Lego camps and YMCA camps during the summer. And currently, YMCA has a daycare that's functioning downstairs Monday to Friday. Do you know why that's able to happen? Well, that's able to happen because they give. But your giving's important. You realize that there are counseling services that happen here throughout the week, 3, 4, 5 different counselors. We've set aside 2 rooms in our building for them to use. We don't charge them to use because they're making a difference in helping people in our community that are close to home here navigate the struggles of their life. We don't charge them anything for it. We're able to provide lights and heat and water and bathrooms and a room for them to function in and do that ministry. And do you know how that's possible? You detect a pattern here? Can you say it with me? Because you give. There are missions groups that come and stay here. We just had one this past weekend. You never saw them because they don't get in until late at night because they're out working and doing ministry. Shenandoah Teen Challenge, who's come down, and they've been such a blessing to us, and we've been a blessing to them. And they come in and they stay in our building, and they go out and they do jobs and things to raise funds for their ministry and for their organization. And so they use our kitchen, and they'll make little meals, and they do these things. Do you know how that happens? Just a couple of months ago, there were 100+ backpacks that were lined across the front of the sanctuary, absolutely slam-packed full of every school item that a kid would need. And we took them and we walked into a school in Mount Vernon Community, which I just found out today, some of our ladies and helping hands are giving coats and hats and gloves and puppies. No puppies? Okay. Ixnay the puppies. Because they give. Kids are in school today writing with pencils and on paper that they wouldn't have had unless you gave. That's why that happens. It's incredible. When the principal comes out and is almost in tears, when the office staff comes out and says, you do not know what a difference this makes to the children of our school. You know that right now in the bulletin, we're promoting Giving Tree. And Giving Tree, we're working with Mount Vernon Community School again, and there are going to be families that are going to have Christmas this year. And you want to know why they're going to have Christmas this year? Can you help me? Because you give. Because some of you are going to realize it's not just about your list, it's not just about your family, it's not just about your kids. It's sometimes bigger than that, and it's more than that. And after service, you're going to get up and you're going to walk out, and if you haven't got a Christmas ornament already, you're going to pick an an ornament, and you're going to get a boy or a girl or a mom or a dad, and they have sizes. They have all the information there that you need, and there's like $25 and $50. And they're broken up in different sizes up to you know, Pastor West's gift, and it's all broken up. And you're going to go into the room, and you're going to register it, and you're going to go shopping because you know you're going to go shopping anyway, right? And so you're going to go, and you're going to buy these items. You're going to wrap it. You're going to bring it to the office by December 7th or something like that. It's in your bulletin. But you're going to go, and you're going to know that there's a kid on Christmas morning is going to open up presents, and he's going to have joy, and he's going to love it. It's going to be awesome because you gave. You see, the dot comes back to people. If you follow the trail, it's not just, oh, folks did a good thing. No, who are the, you're the folks. Now this is, we've planted two churches in the last 4 years. Financially supporting the pastor, financially supporting the church and helping them pull off items and pull off, you know, events and various things. Both of them now are having people saved and finding the Lord. Both of them are making a difference in their communities. Both of them are growing and becoming something more and something greater. And you want to guess, just, you're going to be blown away by this. Do you want to guess how we're able to do that? Did y'all read my notes? Because that's what I have, because y'all gave. And this is just a snapshot, guys. What goes on here day to day. Some of these things you don't see, and I realize that. And it's probably bad on me. I tend to be a doer, and once something is done, it's done, and I'm ready for the next thing. I don't tend to celebrate enough because while you're celebrating, we're trying to find out what else should we be doing. These things happen all the time. They happen on a day-to-day basis. Benevolence cases, folks that we've been able to bless and help get into places, and people we've been able to meet needs in their lives, and counseling times, and times during office hours, after office hours, you're meeting people for coffee. I'll think, why do these things happen? Because you give, because you help that. There's things that I know I've forgotten, and some of you are probably sitting out there saying, well, what about this? What about, I can't remember it all, because once it's done, I'm down the road to the next thing that I'm going to forget when it's finished. But the thing is this, I want to say that all that we do, whether it is a large scale and very visible, or whether it's something that's overlooked, like keeping lights on or the heat on, making sure there's water when you turn on the spigot, all of those things are done because you give. And when giving increases, we can do more. And when giving decreases, we can do less. Now, there's been a lot of things that I think we have been, we've been pretty good at. We've worked hard at. We make mistakes, but we make them honest. And we try to learn from those areas. And I think there's things that First Assembly of God and you have been able to be a part of that have been great things, that have made a difference in people's lives. But there is one area that I think I have really failed in, not done well in. And it's funny, I was sharing this with somebody a couple of weeks ago, and they said, yeah, don't use the word fail. And I said, well, why? And they said, well, fail is just such a negative word. And so go with, I haven't been successful in yet. And I thought, all right, yeah, that's fine. But then I got home and I started thinking, if out of 100 I got a 40, that's not been successful in yet. That's failing. And so I have failed in this area. And I don't think that I have necessarily been able to help connect the dots for you between your personal giving to the church and the life change that happens in these walls and through this church to the world. I don't know if I have done a good enough job at that. And when you talk to folks, they love the church. Oh, you love, oh, I love First Assembly. Man, my small group is awesome. They love seeing what we do. They love being a part of the things. We love when people are saved. And man, we had baptisms last Sunday, and it was crazy. It was just awesome, man. I'm sitting up there baptizing people, trying to hold back tears because I'm sitting there, you know, I don't want to hold them under too long and the bubbles stop. And, you know, I'm trying to stay focused. But it's just this amazing, this is an incredible thing. And I know that many of you come for the worship, you just put up with me. I know that. I cry myself to sleep, but it's okay. Children's ministries, our kids are loved and they're challenged in the Lord. But I got to tell you something. I here's where I feel like I have failed, because 50 to 60% of our church has no plan of supporting the church financially. Now, believe it or not, that 50 to 60, that means that 40 to 50% of you give. Now, can I tell you something? That's better than the national average. So congratulations, kinda. And I have failed you in this area. And part of this is I think my responsibility. And I want to tell you how I came to that estimate. Now, I don't know who gives. I don't want to know who gives. I stay out of the financing. I told you before, I'm not a big money fan. Money is simply a tool. I don't see who gives what people give. I stay out of that nonsense because my job is very, very, very simple. My job is to love people, to teach the word, to lead you deeper into relationship with him, to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comforted. That's my job. And so I asked folks who would know, and this was the question I asked them, how many faithful givers do we have? And again, I didn't look. And so they worked on those numbers and whatnot, And I want to share with you a little bit about what we have. I know. See, I start talking about money. The baby's like, I'm such a little one. But here's the thing. Not based on amount, because we don't know who makes what. That's none of our business. But just based on anyone who gives consistently. If it's $20 a week faithfully, it was in there. $5 a week, it's in there. $1,000 a week, it's in there. Those who give consistently, it worked out to 40 or 50% of our church give faithfully. Okay? So that's not horrible. But here's the thing. In that group are two different types or two different sizes of people. Sizes of people. I don't know what that means. In that number are two different groups. Let me try that. I'm going to get in trouble here. There are givers and there are tithers. All right? A tithe is what? It's 10%. That's what a tithe is. And we know in Malachi, Jesus talks about that. A tithe is looking at what you make and saying, I understand that the word of God challenges me to give back to God 10% of all that I make, and I'm going to be faithful in that. And you find that in Scripture, Malachi 3:10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Now try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. It says God watches and God sees, you know, what I will do, and God challenges us to tithe 10% of all that we make. That's the first group that's in that number. The second group are givers. And I want to explain to you what a giver is. A giver is someone who gives consistently but doesn't give a tithe. A giver may be someone who says, I faithfully give 2% or 5% or whatever it is, but it's less than 10%, but they do it consistently. Maybe they give, you know, faithfully for special projects, for backpacks and Christmas tree and homeless outreach and various opportunities, missionaries that come in, they throw something in the plate there. All of those things are good, but if it's under that 10%, then it makes you a giver. And so what that means is this. If there are 40 to 50% of folks who are tithers, givers groups, that means that 50 to 60% don't give faithfully or don't give consistently. And that is, in some part, my responsibility and my fault. I have to own some of that. Because I have not inspired you to do this. I have not led you into it or taught you into it or helped you understand in a way or a depth that you find value in being faithful in your giving in your life personally and to your church locally. Now, I don't talk about money a lot. I don't beg. I don't bribe. I don't believe in belittling. You know, if you're not giving, people are going to hell. I I'm not that guy. And the truth of the matter is, I'm not going to stand here and say, if you give $100, God will give you $1,000. Because if I believe that, why wouldn't I give you $100 so God gives me $1,000? All right, so we're not doing that. We're not going there. I don't want it to be any of the nonsense. We're not going to belittle anything. We're not going to beg anything. We're not going to bribe anything. We're going to pick the best tither of the month and give you an iPad. We're not doing any of those things because it's not about any of those things. Someone said that if you give to God, then God will give back. And if they really believe that, then they should be giving. You know, it's crazy. It's not about any of those things. It's about simple obedience to the Word of God. And if we're going to be a church that wants God to do the things that God says he'll do in his word, then we need to live a life according to the word that's in the word. And so it can't be emotion driven. It can't be guilt driven or shame driven. It has to be obedience. I want the fullness of God in my life, and so I need to fully obey God. Whether it's easy or whether it's hard, whether it feels good or whether it's tough, it's about obedience. And obedience is power and breakthrough and anointing. And it is simply about the truth of obedience. And when we provide an opportunity and you give and you see the fruits of it, you see the backpacks that are lined up, you hear the missionary saying, I can't do what I do without your giving. When you watch your son or your daughter walk out and go to JV or go to youth on Wednesday nights or go to LOL and they come home and they're talking about what they learned in class and you see them talking differently, acting differently, responding differently, growing differently, and you know that it's because of what they're learning in the local church, and you know I give and I get to be a part of that. And it feels good, doesn't it? I wish I could have everybody there when we drop off backpacks. I wish I could have everybody there when we do the Christmas thing. I mean, there's just no way we could do it. When you see their faces and their eyes and everything just lights up. And it's like you sit there and you, I don't care how much you've done wrong. In that moment, you know you got it right. It's incredible. And again, it's not about money. I wish y'all knew how many times I get up to start teaching, and I look in the back, and one of our ushers is doing calisthenics back there because I forgot to take the offering again. I drive home. I'm like, Steph, what a terrible pastor. I can't remember the offering. Yeah, our giving's down. Well, it's because I'm a moron. That's why. I don't ever take the offering. That's why giving's down. But at the same time, there's so many that have no plan. No plan. And how to support your local church that you love. And that needs to change. And you may, you know, not think about this, but part of my world is to think about things like this and to look at things like this. And these are the things we carry. And so I want each and every one of you to function at the full level of maturity, full potential of your life spiritually. And that's not just growing in your gift or your knowledge, but it's growing in your giving to full obedience as well. Now, our giving potential is far greater than what it's currently functioning at. I'm going to be really honest with you. I had this question wrestling. Y'all see me get southern there for a minute? Wrestling. That's awesome. This question, can you be a good steward without faith? We're just coming through our time of doing our 2015 budget for the church, and this was the question that we laid out. Can we be a good steward without faith? Because if we can do a budget that we know we can do, well, then you don't need God. Right? And if I don't need God for anything, then is that really faith? It's not really faith. Well, I know that without faith, it's impossible to please him. And so we need to have things like, and y'all are going to hear about this in 2015, unfunded kingdom projects. And these are things that we're dreaming. Our board right now is praying through what these things are going to be and how we're going to process these things. And the great thing is this, we're going to come up with this list and prioritize it, and we already have all the money needed and necessary to fulfill every single one of them. Isn't that fantastic? Amen. It's good. Now it's all in your account. So we're gonna need you to give. But you're going to hear about unfunded kingdom projects. And these are things that if God doesn't show up and God doesn't do it, it's not going to get done. And we're believing for this. I'm just telling you, we're believing for this. Our vision is not our weak area. I'm just letting you know. We got dreamers that dream. And it takes a level of faith to be a good steward. But you see, I believe that we have the potential to be able to build and pay for it. I believe that we have the potential to send more people full of the Holy Spirit into the world to see people saved locally and foreign, to start new and exciting ministries, to add life to this house so that more people are coming, more people are being saved, matured, discipled, grown up in the house of God, sent out into the world as the light of the world and making a difference, to take the very same presence that you feel on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night or in your small group or wherever you meet, the youth downstairs, the children upstairs, and take it to the next state, take it around the street, take it to the next, I say the next world, take it around the world. I believe that we can do that. The potential is here. We've just got to do it, and I think we can do it. And every once in a while, I kind of get wound up on this, and somebody say, Wes, you just got to calm down. You've got it good. We're paying bills. The church loves you. Things are going well. Why don't you just coast? Why don't you don't coast? And the thing is, they clearly have never met me before. Because as long as you have unsaved family, we should never stop. As long as there's people in other countries who speak other languages, and we have to send someone must go. As long as there are people across our country or around the corner from where you live that don't know him, we can't stop. And how do we do it? We do it by being faithful in our giving, faithful in our going, faithful in our serving. That's how we do it. I'm going to ask you a question, and then I'm going to have Harold come in just a second. But listen, if you have been impacted by this church, by one of the ministries of this church, been through a life change because of this church, will you slide your hand up in the air? Can you take a minute and look around? This is why. This is why. That's why it's important to be faithful. That's why it's important to be consistent. That's why it's important to show up at business meetings and see what's going on. That's why it's important to be at Sunday schools and in small groups. That's why it's important. And the way it makes it happen is by how? By our giving. I realize that it's not always easy, and I realize that it takes time to learn and to apply these things to our hearts and to our lives. But I believe that we can do that. Amen? I'm going to have Harold McDonald. He's going to come and he's going to share with you briefly what God has stirred in him.
In the next few minutes, I want to tell you about an exciting journey Margaret and I have been on. It changed my life and my relationship with God. And I'm honored to be able to share a bit of that story with you and to honor God for what he's done. For over 35 years, I've loved to research and study the Word of God. I've been teaching it for a long time. And in those 35 years, I've come to understand God a little bit better and to see his plan for my life. And in studying his Word, I came to a crossroads in my life about 20 years ago. Now that's 35 years of teaching and learning, and 20 years ago this hit me. It was one of those crossroads where you either believe what God says or you don't. There's no middle ground. For me, that crossroad was tithing. For many years, I acknowledged that tithing was probably a good thing, but not really required by the New Testament teachings. Then one day I read Matthew 23, where Jesus was talking to a bunch of Pharisees, and he actually endorsed tithing. I have to tell you, that section of scripture blew a big hole in my rationale and my beliefs. Those beliefs about tithing. Now I had to make a decision. The Holy Spirit had confronted me and had spoken a truth into my heart. And the question was, am I going to believe it or not? But that day I chose to believe that truth about tithing and that tithing really was something I needed to do. Now, how many of you know that believing something and doing something are two different things? Pastor just talked about that. Even though I believed tithing was a God thing, I didn't practice it. When I would do my bills during the month, I'd actually freak out, get a stress headache, and be miserable. There just never seemed to be enough money left at the end of the month to pay for a tithe. It just wasn't there. Margaret and I always tried to give something, but tithing was a greater commitment than I could trust God for. While my wife favored tithing, she's always been more spiritual than me, unfortunately, I let my practical outlook on finances override my faith. My natural eyes just couldn't seem to reconcile with my spiritual eyes. In Proverbs 3, one of my favorite verses says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path." I leaned on my own understanding, and I struggled mightily with this inner conflict of my spirit, doing what I now know God wanted me to do, tithing, versus doing what I thought was the only way to pay my bills, not tithing. Can I tell you, that's a very uncomfortable position to be in? Isn't it just like the Holy Spirit to bring a truth into your life and then make you face that truth? I felt bad. I felt guilty. The very thing I wanted to do, tithing, I didn't do. And the very thing I didn't want to do, not tithing, I did. But God, in his graciousness, continued to love me and deal with me about tithing. He began to nudge me to do what I knew was right in my heart. You see, above all else, God wants our heart. If he gets our heart, he'll get the rest of us, including our finances. So what happened? At one point in our life, Maggie and I drew a line in the sand and said, we're going to tithe. Sometimes you just have to step out and do what God tells you to do, period. So we did it. But can I tell you how scary it was first time I wrote that tithe check? And even second, and a fourth, and a tenth. Because I sat there, and I struggled with the concept of tithing, I struggled with actually doing it. I would think I could pay a bill, buy groceries. There were all kinds of alternative ways of spending that money. They just popped into my mind. But then I began to see things change in our life. It seemed our money stretched further. Margaret was able to find deals at, you know, the grocery store or find clothes on sale, or for 1 month our electric bill went down $25 or something. And one of the things that used to bug me so much before we started tithing was I would not tithe and then something would break. You know the drill, don't you? I hear you. Yeah. It seemed like God was saying to me, you can either be obedient to me and tithe, or something else will take the money. Now, you may think that sounds crazy, but I can tell you that over the last 15 years, we have still had those unexpected expenses. They've arrived at times when we didn't want them. But you know what we do now? We say, God, this is an issue you need to help us solve, that you will solve. And time again, God has been faithful to meet our needs. And I think that's quite amazing. God will also do things totally unexpected for you. You may get a raise or a job promotion, or maybe somebody will ask you out for lunch today and actually pay for it. Wouldn't that be cool? We got a refund check in the mail about 2 weeks ago from a hospital bill we overpaid. We didn't expect that. The hospital said, "Yo, this much." We paid them. Okay, 2 months later, they send us a check. It was almost $1,100. And, you know, we didn't have anything to do with that. That was God's intervention in our life. And it came about, I think, because we were obedient to God. And when you're obedient to God, you open up opportunities for God to amaze you, to build your faith, and to pour out his blessings. I have no idea how it works. I just know that it works. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, "He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it." God never calls us to do anything without first faithfully keeping his word. And he enables us to do everything we need to do. God stands by his word to fulfill what he has promised. So here's the bottom line. Nothing to me says obedience like tithing. Faith and finances are tied at the hip. While it's truly a personal issue for each of us, I can tell you that tithing for me and my family has been one of the most rewarding and exciting journeys we've ever been on. God has truly opened up the windows of heaven and blessed us exceedingly abundantly beyond all I could ever ask or think. And as Pastor said, it's not just about the money. It's about being obedient and allowing God to work in your life. Because when my actions finally caught up with my beliefs, I began to experience a peace that God talks about in this scripture that passes all understanding. This was amazing to me as I was studying this week. Tithing is one of the few areas in our life where we can go from disobedience to complete obedience with one stroke of a pen. For me, it truly became a joy to partner with God and feel complete freedom to trust him and depend on him to meet my needs. God alone became our source. When I tithe, I say to God, "I'm grateful for what I have. I'm totally dependent on you to provide for me. And I trust you to meet all my needs according to your riches and glory on 90% or less of my income." I have to tell you, it takes a lot of courage and it takes trust in God to write that first tithe check. But after you begin to see the benefits and experience the fruits of your obedience, you'll probably say just like I did, "Man, I wished I would have started tithing sooner." My prayer and encouragement to you is you will diligently seek the Lord in the area of your finances, especially about tithing. Oftentimes, we have to take a risk and get out of our comfort zone. But tithing is one of those areas where it seems like a risk, but it's really not. Just as Pastor read that scripture in Malachi, God says, "Test me when?" Now, in tithing. Don't wait, you know, a month from now and decide you want to tithe. God says, "Test me now in tithing and see if I will not open up for you windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows." Now, let me ask you, after all, who doesn't want a life filled with blessings that overflow? Amen.
Yeah, I just want to be clear, very clear in what I'm asking you to do today. In just a moment, we're going to receive our morning tithe and offering, and I'm asking you to invest in the kingdom of God. I'm asking you to give. I'm asking you to be a part of what helps this place continue to go on. You love the classes you're in. You love the ministries that you're a part of. You love the things that we do. You love to hear the missionaries tell the stories. Well, when you give, you're part of that story. And I want to invite everyone to be a part of that story. And I know it can be tough. I know that economy right now is kind of shaky, and government shutdown a while back scared people to death, and things are not always easy. Everything keeps going up, and I know that there's always something that comes along that tells you why you can't give, but I want to tell you something. This always says that you can. And we kind of have to choose who and what we're going to believe in. And so let me address the groups, to the 50 to 60% who at this time are not giving faithfully or consistently and have no plan to. I want to ask you to begin to do something. Maybe you can't do 10%. Maybe you can do 3%. 100%. Maybe you're going to go from nothing to something. And I want to ask you to do that. I want to ask you to take that step. I want to ask you to be faithful in it and consistent in it. Start with it. Maybe it can't be a full tithe, but take a step from nothing into that group of being a giver and watch what God will do. And I'm telling you, as you see the faithfulness of God, you're not going to want to stop that journey. You're going to want to continue it. But let me ask you to do this. To those who are giving, but you are not giving a full tithe, you're giving 2% or 5%, I want to ask you to go from 2 to 5, or 5 to 7, or 7 to 10. I want to say for those who are doing nothing to something, I want to ask those that are doing something to go to something more. Take another step. Take a little more trust. Trust in God. Just a little bit more. Put it into action and say, you know what? I understand. And Harold's words, it's not always easy. It's not always sitting there. You may be scared to death to take the step. But when you see the faithfulness of God, it's going to be amazing. Give God the opportunity to show you his faithfulness. Why? Because you want to be a part of what God is doing and what God is going to do here and through this place. To go from something to something more. To the tithers, I want to say this. I want to ask you to take a step as well. And I want to thank you because there are people that are in this building serving in ministries whose lives have been impacted because you have been faithful in your generosity. And when folks raise their hands, you're a part of that. You're a part of that story. It's not always visible. I was thinking so often people love to be a part of ministries that are the visibles. We want to sing, we want to teach, we want to do all these things. But yet giving is probably one of the most impacting and yet it's the most invisible things because we don't know. And yet it provides the foundation for so much of the visible things that we do. Be a part. And when you see videos of people being saved, or you hear the testimonies of lives being changed in a small group, or people sharing about being challenged on a Wednesday night to grow deeper, or young people, our youth being taught how to live, you know, Jesus each and every day, or children having the seeds of the gospel planted in their hearts and in their minds, all of it can be tracked back to the faithfulness and to the generosity of God's people. And that is why I'm asking you all to give, to tithe, to serve, and to invest. I'm asking you to obey God because there's a lot that we have to do. And I know that you're with me or you wouldn't be here. I hope you're with me next week. But what I need that to do is I need that to trickle down. And Harold said it beautifully. When my actions caught up with what I believed, there's something miraculous that happens in that place. And here's the thing. Let me say this. If you don't, if you say, I've been giving nothing, and you know what? I'm pretty sure I'm going to keep giving nothing. I'm not going to go from nothing to something. I'm going to stay from nothing to nothing. I want you to understand something. If you want to come here for free, this is what I commit to you. I will preach and teach the Word of God to the very best of my ability. And I will love you the way Christ calls me to love you, and that will never change. No guilt, no shame, nothing. But I want to say this. There's no greater investment than the local church. Because it is the hope of the world with the message of salvation in all our life. Amen.
To learn more, please contact our church office, 703-548-0339.